Welcome to the Vinyl Preacher, your weekly podcast where we talk about the Bible and make a playlist. I'm Matt Cato, coming at you live from Noah and the Flood here in Los Angeles, California.
I feel that might be pertinent for where we're headed today, Matt. Heyo. But listeners, I would like to welcome you. I'm Zach Paris. I'm sitting high above the destroyed city streets of Asheville, North Carolina, where utility work is happening and shaking my house, and I'm sure won't affect the recording in any way.
Oh my goodness.
I do want to welcome you to a very special edition of the Vinyl Preacher. Gosh, Matt, what is there to say today as we mark the passing of Toby Keith?
What is there to say? What? I just read the New York Times obituary and I was surprised by all that I did not know. Which means that I was clearly outside the country music world. All I remember is like the early 2000s and the boot in your ass patriotic song that he did. That was my primary knowledge of Toby Keith. But apparently he had a long career, sang a lot of songs, you know? I didn't know.
My only actual preparation to speak on Toby Keith today, Matt, is to relay the alleged story of Kris Kristofferson putting him into his place before they went on stage. And Toby Keith allegedly told him to not do any, cool it with the lefty stuff tonight. And then Kris Kristofferson called him out on his lack of military service. So
nice. Yeah, I didn't. That story was not in the obituary, so you have enlightened me even further.
You should Google it, listener. Willie Nelson's there, evidently.
I didn't wake up this morning thinking I was going to learn this much about Toby Keith, but you just never know.
Every day is a mystery.
Rest in peace, Toby. Rest in peace.
Gone too soon. Matt, I think the listeners may actually be here for. We have a policy here on the podcast that the Grammys, which I believe is the American Recording Academy annual awards, is that they're called the Grammys,
sure.
Like the Oscars.
Yeah.
But it's for the gramophone trophy, not for the organization. The annual awards here on the podcast, we regard them lowly. They're never good. So don't get upset about them. That's what someone told me a number of years ago. Don't get upset about the Grammys. They never make sense. There's no reason getting upset about it.
Yeah.
So folks like to come here to get a recap of the Grammys from people who
don't get
profess
upset.
A lack of interest in the Grammys. Matt, how was your lack of interest in the Grammys this year?
I would not say that I have a lack of interest. I would say that I have that I have learned from experience not to care too much about who is awarded the prize. A lesson I have apparently not passed on to my daughter, who shrieked with joy when it was announced that Taylor Swift won something. It wasn't Album of the Year because she was in bed by then, but she's still all in on who I think the way she put it was who's elected. So there may be some misunderstanding about what's happening at the Grammys, but
new president.
Yeah.
That's what genetic. They're saying.
But I have interest. I have interest in the Grammys. I love the. You know, it's the spectacle of it. I love the spectacle. I love music, so I would love to see what they're going to do.
A local for you, local.
I do. It is. It's a local event. It's a local event.
It celebrates music.
Yeah, totally.
You can almost see St. Mark's from the outdoor shot with Trevor Noah.
Almost good. It's true. He almost could. I think this was one of the better Grammy. Often, see what would happen like 6-7 years ago is I'd watch the Grammys. They'd be hosted by LL Cool J, which I don't know. And then they'd just be full of these weird mashups of past and present stars, and the whole thing just felt really. It was mostly ridiculous. This time, I was pleasantly surprised. I thought it was it was good. I mean, the first mashup that they had, Zach, I don't know if you've seen clips of this or not, but they like had this whole, they did these whole like video introductions of songs.
Now, when you said, I don't know if you've seen clips or not, I think you're assuming I didn't watch, Matt. And for the record, I didn't watch because it's so late on the East Coast. How are they expecting me to watch so the East
late. It's true. I did look at my, Chris was like, is this going to go till 9? I was like, wow, yeah. I imagine how late that is. The other parts of the country.
Insane.
So the first, well, the first song I think was Dua Lipa, which I missed because it was not on Sling. There's a long backstory for why I have Sling temporarily. Oh, yep. Oh. So then I was like scrambling to get my like antenna set up and all that. So I got about half of Trevor Noah's monologue. But then I know our listeners want to hear about this because it really was the highlight of the night for me. So they do this whole video intro for Luke Combs, I believe, who did a cover of Fast Car by Tracy Chapman. And it's like a good like 1 minute video intro of him explaining why he loves this song, how much it means to him, how the song came together. They did this several times. You either loved it or hated the little video intros. So this whole build up, right? And half of it, like, honestly, he's just like, Tracy Chapman is amazing. This is the greatest song ever. Like, I was like, all right, this guy really likes the song. That's cool. And so then the video ends and they go to the stage and they just got the camera zoomed in on the guitar and on the fingers, picking that classic memorable riff that opens. Oh, so good. I mean, we are on record as loving female artists from the 90s, Zach. So I'm pretty sure Tracy Chapman is on our our list. And you could tell it's Tracy Chapman's, you know, like they zoom out and there she is. She's playing the opening riff.
Performed publicly since like 2009, right?
Yeah. Right. Like, and I don't really know all that, but she looks, like she just looks like she's very, like she looks regal. And also just like the look on her face. She sings, there's this line in the first verse of the song that says, me, myself, I got nothing to prove. And the way she sings it is just, it's just perfect. And it fits. It's like, yes, this woman has nothing to prove. This black woman who has been in the music industry forever and basically took a break, was like, I'm done. And, but is singing this song with this just radiant smile on her face. The whole audience loves it because the song's amazing. And then I guess Luke Combs is also up there singing. He traded a few verses, but he basically like the entire time is like, I can't believe I'm here. Tracy Chapman is amazing. So it was really beautiful. It was like a mashup that actually worked. And it was, yeah. It was beautiful. And hey, I will sit through the ridiculousness of the Grammys if it means I get to see Tracy Chapman sing a song. That was great. You know, and sadly then Googled like, hey, is she on tour? No, hasn't been on tour for 15 years. So, that's unfortunate. But if she goes on tour, I'm gonna get in line. Cause that, seems pretty awesome.
I believe so this is her highlight. Second break in the music industry.
Really?
I was surprised that she performed in the aughts. Cause the story that I'd always heard about Tracy Chapman was that she was destroying things the way she was, talking about a revolution, and then got fed up and tired of like all of the white people and Volvos coming to her shows, who it turned out were not as committed to the revolution as she had hoped, and burned out that way. So,
yeah, I could see it. I mean, we could do a whole deep dive, and there's a lot of legit reasons why you would burn out, but it's amazing to see her.
There are very few things these days in this polarized world, but evidently, Matt, the only thing that America can agree on is that Fast Car by Tracy Chapman's an incredible song.
Right? I mean, It was like 4 minutes of having hope for the world. It was, and then, you know, the song ended and you immediately went back to despair. But for those 4 minutes, hope for the world. Yeah.
In the aftermath of the Grammy night of that performance, there was so much social media stuff that I just felt uncomfortable because there was so much exposed opportunity for like hot taking it. I don't know what the hot take is, right? But there was just, it was all one-sided of like, that was great. And it makes me feel uncomfortable online when it's that one-sided because clearly nothing can be that one-sided, right? Somebody's got to hot take this the other way.
Sorry,
man.
The
thing I found that's close to hot take, Matt, but it's not super hot takey, is that there's opportunity for Fast Car to be heard like in a Brucey kind of way where you hear what you want to hear. Right? like Born in the USA is patriotic anthem, right? Like Go USA, like you can hear Fast Car as like
sure.
It's a good job. And work your way. Work yourself out of poverty in the city. But that's not very spicy.
I'm sorry. It was one side. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful moment. That's it's the only side there is. It was amazing. What else happened at the Grammys?
By the way, Luke Combs.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Asheville's own. Went to his graduate of AC Reynolds High School.
Well, I know that you do love all artists with Luke in the name. It's one of the
I love the Lukes
categories of people. The Lukes.
The Lukes and the Bryans.
The Bryans. Indeed. Indeed. You two performed. I was looking forward to that. I was very excited. Turned out to just be a commercial for this beer. I did like that was fine with that. You want to make me watch a commercial?
What are you telling me, Matt? You two did a commercial.
You're gonna watch me maybe watch a commercial for this beer with you two. I'm happy. That's fine. But maybe let's not call it you two live from the Sphere. There was no sense in which this was live. At all. It was clips that were cut together to show you highlights of all the visuals while they played Atomic City, which is fine.
Within the space-time, the confines of the space-time continue.
I mean, my kids were like, you guys went to that show. Yeah, we were there. Yep, it was cool. Yeah. The only part that was live was then Bono introduced the winner of the next award, which I can't remember what the award was, but the winner was Taylor Swift. So, yeah, my kids are more excited by that than the actual performance. But hey, anytime you get to see you two on an award, I'm great. I'm grateful. It was great. It was fine. It was good. You know who we did not see, though? I was very disappointed by this. Boy Genius didn't perform. What's up with that? I mean, I kind of figured
I was about to say, I can't believe that we led an episode of the podcast with the death of Toby Keith rather than the death of Boy Genius.
Well, death that will likely have a resurrection, I would expect. I think the chances
are the kind of death I know of,
pretty good, considering they dressed in matching clothes, which I'm here for it. It was great. And then we're probably more excited to win a Grammy than anybody else at the Grammys. Yeah. Like, just seem very, very happy about the whole thing. Just thrilled to be there. Yeah.
We had some great comments post.
What did they say?
Post-show. I forgot who Phoebe destroyed, but some producer or something who had committed sexual violence or something. And she said, rest in piss. That's what she said about this guy. It was a very rock and roll moment. There are lots of good clips. You should check it out.
Yeah.
Matt, did you come away with, you've told me before, as you sherpered me through these award shows, not to get tied up in outcomes, were there any surprising outcomes, winners, losers for you that caused you to emote?
I mean, I'm at the stage in my life where I have mild disappointment. Grammys. So like the Billie Eilish song from Barbie won. What Was I Made For? Mm-hmm. Which I'm on record. I love the Barbie movie. I thought it was great. And the soundtrack was played a lot in our home. We're big fans of the soundtrack. Mm-hmm. What I don't understand is this is the least exciting song on the soundtrack. That Dua Lipa song is a banger. The Lizzo mm-hmm. song is fun. Even that Ken, I'm Just Ken, Anywhere Else I'd Be a 10, yeah. Is, you know, that's fun. Like any of those other songs I would put on. I can't imagine putting this Billie Eilish song on and listening to it as like, I'm going to put this song on and enjoy that. Like, you're not going to do it. So like, why? I don't understand why this is not here over the Dua Lipa. I don't get it. I don't understand. But apparently what I've learned from the New York Times podcast is that Grammy voters love Billie Eilish because she's actually a classicist that writes just classic songs, even though she comes in this like persona of like I'm a rebel dressing like a teenager and whatever, but really she just writes classic songs like Burt Bacharach or something. So that's cool. So she won. Miley Cyrus was great. She did a pretty great performance of Flowers, which is, it's catchy, it's great, love it.
This is where I mean, so two quick items, Matt. Number one, I can't wait till we get to the playlist. Get your reaction to my additions to the playlist based on those comments. And number two, I was really surprised by Miley Cyrus winning because I forgot that song was this year.
Yeah.
Like it was January 2023, and I guess it's calendar year 2023 but it had been over a year ago, and like I was surprised. Like, it's good, you know. It was a little like I knew it immediately, but it was unremarkable in the title, right? Because I was like, what did Miley Cyrus done lately, right? And then I went to like look it up, and like, well, it's not lately, and then oh, it's that song, which is great, super catchy. Really surprised though. I don't remember what was it, record of the year that it won. Over anti-hero. Let's
right. Yeah,
feel like a titan to slay. The only rationale I can conjure is that votes were split among all the other folks. I don't know.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, one of the surprises was that Olivia Rodrigo got shut out, basically, and like she had some songs. She had an album.
Yeah.
That may have been more interesting than, I don't know, some of the stuff that won. So all that and Taylor Swift, who, you know, I got Swifties in my house. I love Taylor Swift. Remember a couple years ago, she won Album of the Year, and I came on this podcast to defend her victory.
Yeah, we had a whole thing.
And this time, it was like...
She's not hurting for Grammys.
She won the first one, and she immediately used it as an opportunity to announce her next album, which you could see, like, one of the podcast listeners said, you could feel it in the room that people were like, like, we're just not into that. Like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Like, you, of all the people here, you are the least in need of using this moment to promote yourself. Like, you could just put this on Instagram after the show, and it'd be great. You don't need to do this. Like, what?
Yeah.
And then she won Album of the Year for Midnights, which I have Midnights. We've listened to it. It's fine. I think that was pretty much everyone's reaction to Midnights was, it's fine. Is it the best or most interesting album of the year in any way? I don't know, Zach. I may be in your camp back in 2020. I feel like any of these other ones would be fine. So basically it was, I think, it seems like the take is this was basically an award for her overall 2023, which sure. Yeah. She's definitely the music artist of the year for 2023. So if that means you also get album of the year, great.
I think that leads into my annual criticism, Matt. Why not have an award for that? Because nobody knows what these damn categories mean anyway.
Just artist of the year.
Record of the year means versus album of the year. Versus, like, song of the year, I think I get. Best solo perform, like the cat, like the, come on. Like this shouldn't be, these are made up categories and they appear nonsensical, and there appears to be no clear delineation between the categories. So you want to give out musical artist of the year? That's a great, that makes sense to me. As much sense as record of the year.
Artist of the year. Also
album and song of the year.
Yeah, people were commenting on how Tracy Chapman won like some award, like I don't know if it was pop song of the year, folk song of the year in like 1989 for Fast Car, and then this year it won for best country song at the CMAs, and she won as a songwriter for best country song. Like, so what song is it, country because Luke Combs did it, or like how do we, I don't know, genres are bizarre.
Fun fact, I learned my last Fast Car note that I learned this week is that evidently in the United States, when your song gets played on the radio, you get paid, right? Because they're using it, you know? But actually, it's just the songwriter gets paid.
Oh.
That's just how it's set up. So all the Luke Combs plays have been deposited directly into the pocket.
Good for her.
She's crushing.
Good for her. Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty fantastic. My only other little note, and I should have mentioned this in the Boy Genius section, is that apparently they won like 3 Grammys, I want to say. And Phoebe won a fourth for a collaboration with SZA, which was the moment that I found out that there existed a collaboration between SZA and Phoebe. So I'm going to have to look this up. I haven't yet, but I didn't know it existed.
How does that switch past us, Matt? Like, that doesn't seem like the kind of thing that should like fall through. And it's an indictment of somebody somewhere that it's not being caught by the net that is this podcast. Like, who is? If this isn't the target demographic for that song, what? Who is?
I don't know. I don't know. So that's what I got. That's the Grammy recap that I've got for you.
Well, I think we're just waiting for the AMAs now, right?
Just waiting for the AMAs.
Mm-hmm. Let's see when the AMAs come out. Oh, April. Just April. April 7th. Put it on your calendar. We can talk about really, more award shows.
It's like after the Oscars.
Cool.
Wow.
You're a real Angeleno, Matt, because you know when the Oscars
it's awards season, all right? In New Orleans, there's carnival season. LA, you got award season. For your consideration, the FYC. Once you learn that there's all these banners that show up saying FYC, and your first day you wonder, FYC, what's that? Then you quickly learn it's for your consideration. And it's things you got to learn when you live in Los Angeles.
How much rain have you gotten, Matt? I saw some crazy numbers when I was standing at the DMV today.
Yeah.
Fox Weather Channel.
A lot. It's been a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know. They said somewhere it was like 6 inches in a couple hours, which is a lot for us.
That's a lot anywhere in an hour. That's high intensity.
It was in a couple hours, but still. Yeah, it's been a lot of rain. That's it. Just really wet. It's really wet.
All right. You could probably a good day to get out the boat and hit the LA River. Very un-Greece-like right now, I'm guessing. Sure.
It's really safe. Yeah.
Can't drive your hot rod on it this week.
No. Yeah, that's true. Can't drive the hot rod. Oh, wow. Well, speaking of floods, I think we get floods in the text.
Reminds me of another time somebody got a little bit of rain. This youth pastor that came.
Genesis, we're in Lent. Welcome to Lent. Wonderful to kick off Lent with a discussion
AKA
of the Grammys.
Award season.
AKA award season. Excuse me, listeners. Oh my goodness, I'm so excited for Lent. I'm coughing. Lent year B, which is all about the covenants. So there's all these covenant stuff that's happening in the texts. So we get a covenant here in Genesis, and it's a pretty colorful one. Genesis 9, 8 to 17. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Matt, I try really hard these days to not post anything particularly sincere on the internet.
No
real point to it, you know. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to agree on anything except for Tracy Chapman's Fast Car is a really good song. The last time I got into a fracas on the social internet was in regards to this story, because someone from the small town that I grew up in posted a thing about how they were upset that the rainbow had been reappropriated, a biblical image reappropriated as the symbol of the gays, and I replied, "Yeah, it's really it's actually right, like it should really, it's really clearly a symbol about radical commitment to nonviolence," and that did not go over.
It didn't go over well.
We got into it. I got the Hebrew word. And I was like, "This is what the word bow means. It's a weapon. That's what we're talking about here." It's always important to hit that when we're talking the Noah story again. Maybe it's a little fast car. Maybe it's a little Born in the USA. Again, if you think about it for more than 5 seconds, you start to wonder why we're painting the insides of nurseries with this story, which right. first is about incredible amounts of death and destruction. And then it's about God saying, sometimes I really want to squish you all like bugs, but I'm not going to do it anymore. Great. And that's the renewal. The Noahide covenant here is made.
Yeah.
God hangs, not squished like bugs. This intimates that God sits somewhere, probably high up in the clouds. Here would be a good spot because the clouds would be a preferable place to be. With a bow and arrow, shooting humans out of anger and vengeance with bows, with arrows. And God says, I really like doing that. Sometimes you guys really piss me off. But you know what? Because of the covenant, not going to do it anymore. I'm going to hang the old bow over there, and you'll see it. That means, you know, I don't got it. So not only are you aren't going to get any little Cupid arrows shot at you, no more God's vengeance arrows either.
Yeah, I love that God has to say like 3 times that he's going to remember. Like, I really need this to remind me. I'm going to remember. It's almost, it's like one of those things where you have to repeat it to yourself. Like, remember to do this, remember to do this, remember to do this. God's just like doing a mantra. Remember not to kill them all. Remember not to kill them all. We're not going to do this again. It didn't go well. It's wild that God has to be reminded of that.
Yahweh is always surprisingly like forgetful. Like it's there. It's always there, right? Like it's the Jeremiah that I love, that I'll forgive their sins, like their iniquity, and remember their sins no more, right? Like Ralph Klein used to make a big deal out of it. Like that the promise is, I'm going to forget. Like not like, not count, but like, I promise to forget. So like, it's this like, God needs to remember, because that's the covenant. I'm going to remember it. I'm going to remember it. Sometimes it'd be helpful if you reminded me. But one of the things I need to remember is that I have to forget some things. And it's this really like, I mean, feeble is a word that I think applies, right? Feeble-minded. It's maybe not the full all-encompassing adjective here, but not a part of this depiction of God.
Yeah. Yeah. I think two preachers, like, it's worth saying again and again, what you've already said, that Zach, which is that the bow is a weapon, which I think I just did not grow up with that knowledge. I don't know what age I was. Like, no, I was probably in seminary, honestly, before I realized, like, oh, it's like a bow and arrow. Like, I had no idea, because that's just not a thing
just
that we tell in Sunday school. Like, I do think you can grow with these stories. Like, we, our Sunday school told it at the Easter Vigil, and it was adorable. Sure, that's fine. Just make sure that you do grow with them. And eventually teach your students that this is a bow and arrow.
All the other animals died. Every single one of them. Yeah,
every one of them. Yeah, my other story with this text, it's my go-to story for it, which is that when I was a kid, we used to have super soakers. They were very popular. Very popular. Every kid had a super soaker.
Oh, yeah.
They had like a giant tank, you know? And my father, one summer, decided he was going to go out and buy the biggest super soaker he could find. It was a double-barreled super soaker. And I don't think I'd ever seen him use it. He just hung it over the mantelpiece in our home. This garish, bright, green and orange super soaker hung over the mantel just to remind us who had the largest water-related weapon in the home. So, that was my dad. And that's basically what God does here. Just hang that super soaker up in the sky to remind you. I'm not going to do it again, but just so you know, I could.
Shout out to Lonnie Johnson, the inventor of the super soaker. He worked at NASA, had a mechanical engineering degree from Tuskegee, and a master's degree in nuclear engineering from Tuskegee, and honorary PhD, excuse me. Worked on the stealth bomber before he got around to doing super soakers.
incredible stuff. What have we got from Mark?
The other thing I'll throw in here, Matt,
oh,
before
you got more,
move all the way on, is I think there's really good news in the feeble-mindedness of God for a person who much of their life has been, or many parts of my life can be filled with anxiety, riddled with anxiety, because, you know, like many people, I do the thing where I remember something dumb that I did or said or something offensive that I said, I don't know, 20 years ago. And you see the person again, and you're like, they're definitely thinking about this thing that I've thought about for 20 years. And then it turns out they don't remember.
Right.
If you're looking for what good news looks like, right? Like, and that can range from really like insignificant things to really big things, right? Like, whew, that can be good news. But we're moving back to the beginning, Mark. Your name's not Mark, your name's Matt, but we're going to go back to Mark, the Gospel of. In those days, gosh, I love the origin story here. Jesus came. This is the first appearance of Jesus, his introduction, no backstory. In those days, Jesus, grown person, came from Nazareth of Galilee, which is up in the north, and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens ripped apart, and the Spirit descending like a dove on him, and a voice came from heaven, saying, "You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." Which is great. End of story. Just kidding. The Spirit then immediately drove him out into the wilderness, which was a very scary place to be. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, the accuser, and he was with the wild beasts, which doesn't sound, is not actually as fun as it might sound. And the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Matt, this is the good news of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So much is happening here, Matt. Like, it's, you may not catch the dissonance of like, Jesus is in the desert with Satan. John has been arrested. Good news. Kingdom's almost here.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't seem apparent that the kingdom is almost here.
But don't worry, Jesus and the gang are going to break John out of prison. Wait a second. Nope, it's only going to get worse for that guy. Jesus himself will be executed. What?
Yeah, yeah, it's wild. This is, I mean, so we had gone all the way to Mark 9 last week, and now we're back to Mark 1. We haven't had enough of the first chapter of Mark. But this
accidentally
is like,
press the reverse button.
Yeah.
Not on the old school VCR, but the one that starts the track all the way over.
So if I remember right, like Mark, like it starts at the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, but then it's all John, and then here's Jesus. This is like our introduction to Jesus. Like he just comes from Nazareth from Galilee. Like we don't get like the whole burst or anything. Like he just shows up one day to be baptized by John. And this is his is that Jesus of Nazareth music right here? His theme music starts playing right here. This is intro.
Resume is very light at this point.
Resumes, I mean, the only resume is what? He's baptized by John. And then the voice says, you are my son, the beloved.
You've earned it. Look at all you've done.
Mm-hmm.
You showed up.
Then he gets driven in the wilderness. But then we don't get like the threefold temptation story with all the like details. We get like no details. He's just out there. It's so fast. Yep. Mark goes by like.
Right.
And then John's arrested and just real.
This reading.
Yeah. And then it's this real passing of the torch. Like, okay, John's arrested and she's going to step up. And like, we'll get that in Mark. Like later it becomes clear that like all of Mark is like a passing of the torch to you, dear reader. So if you want to see what's in store for you, read on.
Again, just think it like, so there aren't a lot of details, but pushing the story along is important to Mark. And so events happening and when they happen are things that are important to Mark. Note here, Jesus is in the wilderness, is tempted. We don't get the three stories about how he like outsmarts Satan. He's just in the wilderness. The angels are waiting on him. He's hanging out with the wild beasts, which again, wild beasts are dangerous. The next line says, when John was arrested, like Jesus heard about it and was like, oh, my known associate was just arrested for treason. I think it's time for me to get out of this wilderness and get to places where I can be found easily and make myself known. Most people would retreat to the wilderness at that point. Jesus does the opposite of what like is a rational response to your only known associate at this time, being arrested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's really clear that like this is the precipitating event for Jesus's ministry starting, is the fact that John's arrested. It's not like he goes into the wilderness and he's like got his planner and he's like, well, it's gonna be about 40 days. And then he's like counting down. Like he's like out there and then it's John's arrested. That's the thing that like sends him back.
Mm-hmm. If you made me summarize it into good news, I'm going to lean on, I had a pretty good sermon. I preached a good sermon on this about how Jesus had a really poor resume. And yet is proclaimed my beloved, with whom I'm well pleased. So if you're looking for good news, there's plenty of good news there. You could maybe even be the good news of showing up, because that's the only action Jesus seems to really take in this story. And maybe showing up is enough. Jesus' comfort with the wilderness and like only comes back to civilization when civilization becomes dangerous. I think could be good news if you play that right, that Jesus is most particularly in the places where safety, security are threatened.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I wonder too, like what the connection is between Mark and Genesis here. I know we've got these covenant themes. Maybe there's some heavens torn apart with the waters coming down, but it also like, I don't know, I guess if I, like you said, if I'm pushed to pick one really fast, there's like a, go back to Taylor Swift. It's a new era. It's another era. You gotta pick which God's in his good news era. I don't know. Pick whatever era you want to find a good name for it. But in Genesis, it's like God's inaugurating this new time when God is not going to destroy the earth by flood. Make of that what you will. But they're now living in a time when God has promised, not going to do it this way. Bow's going to be facing the other way. And Jesus too announces a new age, a new era. And we're about to see what it's going to be like. And so the announcement of this new Kairos time, this new era, probably good as you're kicking off a new season of Lent. So you're in your Lent era.
That is an excellent way to approach it, man. I like that a lot. I'm going to slide into the playlist here to do my last little note on Mark. What ties this text with the Genesis? I wonder if some of it is about questions of identity, because identity is all tied up in this covenant story in Genesis, because that's what the covenant is, right? The ultimate covenant is, I will be their God and they will be, and you shall be my people, right? So it's identity, a codependent sort of relationship, but at its heart, it's about identity, who you are. And we also get this like interesting thing that God needs to like sometimes remember. God is not always incredibly certain about who God is. That there's some fuzziness in that. And there's fuzziness around the identity of Jesus in this story. That there's plenty of room, if you're looking for some like blank space on the page to do some fun creative stuff with. Jesus doesn't like, there you go. Jesus doesn't have like an inner monologue in Mark. We don't know what Jesus knows in Mark. Nobody else ever seems to know who Jesus is. Always a question, always interesting. Mm-hmm. Though maybe not the best question in the world. Does Jesus know who he is? Right. Nobody else, it doesn't say anybody else hears the voice booming from heaven.
Right. Right. Yeah. Like,
it says very particularly Jesus hears it.
Yeah.
Who is Jesus? What's going on? And so Matt, I put it on to listen to earlier today. What was I made for? By Billie Eilish. The first I can imagine this playing as Jesus is wandering in the desert, trying to figure out what this means now.
Sounds fantastic.
What was I made for?
What a montage that would be.
Then I can only assume a great epiphany happens, a second epiphany, if you will, out in the wilderness. And he comes dancing the night away out of it with Dua Lipa, where it's real discordant, almost Barbie-like in the, like a film. It's in the Barbie film, kind of. Where he's like, oh, my guy got arrested. This is where we're going. This is where the party is. He dances the night away right into there. And then we didn't talk about him at all, but another Grammy winner, I saw them in concert just a year ago or so at Chautauqua. Gabby Moreno, who's been going around Guatemalan, she's got a tiny desk. If you want to check out the tiny desk, won a Grammy for her, I think it's a pop Latin album or something. But it's a good album. It's got a track called Fronteras. That's lovely on there. And Jesus is crossing the fronteras back and forth as he goes back and forth. Fronteras, I mean, wilderness, the edge of things is what the fronteras really kind of means in a literal sense. And that's where Jesus is going. So check it out, a Grammy-inspired playlist this week, man.
Well done. Well done. I do not have a Grammy-inspired playlist because I don't care about the Grammys. But well,
as you can tell, dear listener.
Well done. Well done. What have I got? I was looking for a flood song, and I didn't want to use Jars of Clay's Flood, even though it's a 90s classic.
Jason Kirk would have really enjoyed that.
Would have been perfect. Instead, I'll go with The Night of the Johnstown Flood. Find a good version of The Night of the Johnstown Flood. Oh, my gosh. I thought there was a Springsteen song, but no, he just references it in Highway Patrolman, which is like the band was playing Night of the Johnstown Flood. Anyway, and then, you know, it's about, these are texts are about covenants. And if I need a song about a rainbow covenant, I'm going to go with Rainbow Connection by Kermit the Frog and the Muppets. It's a rainbow connection. It's a covenant.
Yeah.
Great. You should sing it. Someone please sing Rainbow Connection after reading Genesis in your liturgy this Sunday.
With blood on your hands.
Incredible. And then Jesus is in the wilderness, which I guess is a scary place. It could also be just a place of wildflowers. Like maybe he just belongs among the wildflowers, like Tom Petty. You belong among the wildflowers. That's where you belong.
Adam Vine, that's such a good album.
Man, I put that on my list. Oh, so good. Yeah. It's been real.
Real vinyl.